إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Akhi, did you get a copy of the book? In Arabic or English? No. Give him one of those, Musa? No. In English. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, tonight, inshallah, this is our second session, reading from Kitab As-Siyam, a brief commentary or sharh of Bulugh al-Maram, the Book of Fasting, by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. Last week was our first session in which we had an introduction to the book itself, Bulugh al-Maram, brief introduction to the author, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, and we took the first few hadith from the book of Siyam. And our discussion in these sittings will center around primarily the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to fasting particularly and Ramadan in general. And we will look at some of the hadith that are narrated concerning the ahkam, legal rulings related to Ramadan and fasting. And we will also look at some of the little brief discussion in passing concerning the grades of some of these hadith, meaning the authenticity of the hadith that are not in Al-Bukhari or Muslim. We're going to look at that briefly, as Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani mentions the sources for the hadith, which books it's narrated in, and if there's some difference of opinion concerning its authenticity, he mentions who are the scholars that said it's sahih or hasan or da'if, and so on. And we're going to also make maybe some extra comments in addition to what he has said. In any case, last week from the ahkam that we discussed in the first hadith is the prohibition of preceding Ramadan with a fast 1 or 2 days before Ramadan, and except for the one who normally fasted on such a day. Likewise, we also dealt with the prohibition of fasting on the day of doubt, meaning the day which would be the 30th of Sha'ban or the 1st of Ramadan due to cloudiness or otherwise, and we don't know if the moon can be seen. So therefore, that's the day of doubt, and it's prohibited to fast in that day simply as a precautionary measure, that one may think maybe it could be Ramadan, so I'll fast. It's prohibited to fast. And the third hadith, we talked about the basis for beginning and ending the fast, that is the sighting of the hilal, for the month of Ramadan or for the month of Shawwal, ending the fast. And likewise, we talked about the fact that it is the imam, the leader of the Muslims, who command the people to fast with the sighting of the moon and to end the fast, and so on. We also talked about, the last 2 points that we talked about was the necessity of making intention, for the obligatory fast. The necessity of making intention during the night, before the break of dawn, and that this ruling is not applicable to voluntary fast, meaning that a person, if they didn't eat or drink or anything that invalidates the fast, could make the intention during the day, after the break of dawn. Those are the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, we're going to take the next hadith, which is in the Arabic text that we are following. It's hadith number 637. And in the English text that we are following, it's hadith number 626. Oh no, I'm sorry, not 626, 534. In the English, it's 534. Okay, this is the eighth hadith in this book of Siyam. It's the eighth hadith. And again, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, tonight we're going to try to cover as many of the hadith from the first section that actually deals with ahkam of fasting. And after that, inshallah, we look at some rulings related to voluntary fast. Okay, so the hadith that we're talking about now, in the Arabic text is 637, in the English text is 534. It's the eighth hadith, the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad. And again, keep in mind that there are some hadith which there's no difference of opinion concerning its authenticity. For those hadith, yani we don't have to talk about the authenticity, but for the other hadith, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions something concerning other hadith that are not in Bukhari and Muslim, and what some of the scholars said about them, and what were their sources, the books where they were collected in. And again, I said we may add some further comments sometime to some of that. If a hadith is considered to be weak, and it's agreed upon that it's weak, or that it's fabricated, or something like this, then we cannot base a ruling, a legal ruling on that, that we act upon. We cannot base a legal ruling in our deen on a hadith that's weak or that's fabricated. But if there's difference of opinion about the hadith, then we're going to look at the difference of opinion briefly, in passing, and try to determine yani, what may be the stronger opinion, that it's hasan or it's da'if or it's sahih or whatever. Because legal rulings in Islam are based on that which is confirmed to be from the Prophet ﷺ, or that which is in the Quran. Hadith in English 534, Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la yazalu nasu bi khayrin ma ajjalu al-fitra. La yazalu nas, the people will continue to be upon khayr. La yazalu nas bi khayrin ma'ajjalu al-fitra, as long as they hasten in breaking the fast. Yani when it's clear, sure, that the sun has set completely below the horizon, we should hasten to break the fast without delay. And that means, and this question comes all the time, that in any place where you may be, in the masjid or otherwise, if the mu'adhin delays in calling the adhan, you do not have to wait for the mu'adhin. Yani the breaking of the fast is upon the setting of the sun, not the adhan of the mu'adhin. Okay, so please be clear on that, because every day somebody's saying, well, some people are saying you have to wait until the adhan is called. No, you have to wait until the sun sets. And then we should hasten in breaking the fast. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, ya'ani meaning agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The second hadith that's attached to this hadith, and in some of the books they numbered it with a separate number, but in the English it's numbered as the same hadith, 534, is a narration from At-Tirmidhi, from the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala Allahu azza wa jalla, ahabbu ibadi ilayya a'ajaluhum fitran. Yani, the most beloved to me of my worshippers are those who hasten the most to break the fast. Okay, these are two hadith. The first hadith from Sahal ibn Sa'ad, muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. We don't have any question about that. The second hadith reported by Tirmidhi from Abu Huraira, and this narration yani supports the previous narration, but it brings a further meaning, and that is that those who are most quick, who are the most in hastening to break the fast, are most beloved to Allah. This hadith reported by Tirmidhi is da'if. It is da'if. Second hadith is da'if. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said in Mishkat, isnaduhu da'if. Isnaduhu, its chain of narrators, is da'if. Okay, from these two hadith, the Shaykh mentions three rulings or three points. Yani, the two hadith, the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad and the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum. Point number one, from what is benefited from this hadith, istihbab ta'ajil al-fitra lis-sa'im idha tahaqqaqa ghurub al-shams bi ru'yatihi aw bi khabar thiqa. Yani the first ruling is that it is mustahab, it's beloved, it's commendable, it's praiseworthy to hasten in breaking the fast. Yani for the person who's fasting, that they should hasten to break the fast. إِذَا تَحَقَّقَ غُرُوبُ الشَّمْسِ. Yani, with the condition that it is certain, confirmed, that the sun has set. Not hastening without, well, I think maybe it's set, let's don't waste any time. No, you have to be sure the sun has set. And he said, by one of two ways. Either by actually seeing it yourself, seeing the sun, the top edge of the sun dip below the horizon, or by information that came to you from a person who is thiqa, yani meaning a person who it is permissible to accept what they tell us. Not everybody's word is acceptable. Some people we know they are not truthful, we can't accept news from them. It has to be from a person who is thiqa. The second point. Okay, so from the first point, it's mustahab to hasten to break the fast as when we are sure that the sun has set. That means that when we are fasting, whether in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, we should not delay in breaking the fast. We should not delay in breaking the fast. And we should be consciously trying to be sure that the sun has set and then breaking our fast immediately. There's all kind of rituals that people go through that cause them to delay breaking the fast. Whatever it is, ignore it. The second point, karahiyat at-tanattu' fi al-deen. Yani that it is disliked, it's makruh, it's detestable that a person go to the extremes, exaggeration in the deen. Meaning that in breaking the fast, we should hasten to break the fast without yani those extreme measures that are unnecessary. What does that mean? That means that when we are sure, by seeing the sunset or by receiving information from a reliable person, we should break the fast without delay and we don't have to go to extreme measures. Yani, are you sure? Are you certain? Are there more witnesses? Let me get a telescope and make sure. No, we don't need all of that. Okay, extremism, exaggeration in the deen is disliked. Don't go to the extreme. Some people are extremists in whatever they do and they think that by being extreme in it, that means we're better than other people. Extremism is not a part of Islam. Rather, we are ummah wasita, yani the moderate nation, the middle nation. We don't go to either extreme. The third point the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh Muhammad bin Luqman, a Salafi, he said, number three, jawaz ta'akhir fil iftar li hajatin. Lakin ta'jil ahabbu ila Allah ta'ala. Yani that is permissible to delay in breaking the fast for some need. If there's a need, yani there's something preventing you, there's something that is pressing, emergency has to be attended to, like the child is running towards the stairway and I'm getting ready to break my fast, guess what? I'm going to drop the date and I'm going to go and catch this child. That means that there is a need for me to delay. But unnecessarily, we shouldn't delay. I just want to add here, that's what the Shaykh mentioned, okay? Now I want to add here that there's also a hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad that's related to our topic, so we want to yani, get the benefit of it. It's reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر وأخروا السهور. That the people will remain upon khair as long as they hasten to break the fast and they delay the suhoor. Meaning to the last moments before the break of dawn, delaying the suhoor. Hastening to break the fast and delaying to take the suhoor at the last minute. Not taking it 1 hour before Fajr, half an hour before Fajr, precautionary. We can't, like some people say, there's on some of the calendars they have imsak. And in 20 minutes before Fajr you have to stop eating. Based on what? Rather the sunnah is to delay until the break of dawn, until just before the break of dawn. And in the narration of Abu Dawud of this hadith, it's also reported that the people will remain upon khair as long as they hasten in breaking the fast and delay the suhoor, the early pre-dawn meal. In the narration of Abu Dawud it says, لِأَنَّ the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِأَنَّ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَ يُؤَخِّرُونَ الْإِفْتَارِ إِلَىٰ اِشْتِبَاكَ النُّجُومِ. Why? Because the Jews and the Christians, they delay breaking their fast. They don't break it as soon as the sun sets. They delay in breaking the fast until the stars appear in the sky. And until it's dark outside, like now. They wait. And this is also the way of some of the Muslims. As some of the scholars said in the explanation of Musabih, As-Sunnah, he said, this became in the Ummah of Islam, it became the shiar for Ahlul Bid'ah. Yani delaying the breaking of the fast became the yani the symbol or the distinguishing mark of the people of Bid'ah. the main people of bid'ah who delay the breaking of the fast until the sun, the stars appear in the sky are the Shia. They don't break the fast at sunset. And if anybody knows, been amongst them, they delay the breaking of the fast. This became the sign of them. This is the way of the Yahud and the Nasara. Second hadith, hadith number 9. In Arabic, it's hadith number 639. In English translation, it's hadith number 535. An Anasin ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tasahharu fa inna fis sahuri barakatan. Yani Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, tasahharu, fi'l amr, yahtadi al-wujub. It's obligatory. Tasahharu fa inna fis sahuri barakatan. Because indeed, not only he commanded us, but he told us why he commanded us to do this. He said, because verily indeed, in the sahur, there's barakah. And here the word sahur is with fatta, as opposed to suhur with dhamma. And we know the difference between sahur and suhur is the same as the difference between wadu and wudu. Wadu is the water that's used to make ablution, and wudu is the process, the act of making ablution. And likewise here, sahur with fatta is the food, the thing that you eat. And suhur is the act of taking that food, the process of break of yani beginning your fast. The Prophet ﷺ said, I command you to take sahur, for indeed in this sahur there's barakah. Muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh mentions two rulings from this hadith. The first of them, istihbab tasahur, wa anna fihi khayran azima, yani that it's mustahab, it's beloved to Allah, it's commendable, it's praiseworthy that we take sahur, yani before you begin your fast, close to the break of dawn, that you take something, you eat something as a pre-dawn meal to begin your fast. This is mustahab. And in it is a great good, a great khair, khairan azima. The second point, the Shaykh says, al-baraka al-hasila min al-suhur hiya imtithal al-amra al-shar'i wa taqawwi ala al-ibadah wa ziyadat al-nashat wa ghayriha min al-fawaid. Yani the baraka that one receives from taking the pre-dawn meal is in that this entails compliance with a legal Sharia command. Yani we have been commanded. So the person who complies with that command, then this is khayr kathir. Yani meaning to comply with the command of Allah and the command of the Prophet ﷺ, this is khayr kathir. Yani a person wants good, comply with the commands of Allah and His Messenger ﷺ. You will achieve great good. In it is compliance with a legal Sharia command. And likewise, in it is a strengthening, enabling the person, making them strong for the worship of Allah. Yani it strengthens the person so that they can worship Allah and have an increase in their activity, their nashat. Yani they will be more active by taking sahur, and there are other benefits besides this. And some of the scholars said that the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said there's barakah in sahur is because in taking the sahur, the person has complied with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and they have opposed the way of the Ahl Kitab. They have complied with the sunnah and they have opposed, contradicted the way of Ahl Kitab. So this sahur is important. Some people said, I don't really like to get up in the morning. But we have been commanded with this. You don't have to get up and cook a meal that takes 1 hour. Rather, yani the best thing that you can take for suhoor is some fresh dates, if you have. Yani something light, easy. But whatever you like, it doesn't matter. As long as it's halal and tayyib, you can do it. But it doesn't take a lot of time to have suhoor. Rather, if a person has a few dates, maybe some fresh, yani some nice, clean, yani purified water, not from the East River, it's khair khathir. It doesn't take any time to prepare it or to consume it. Take the suhoor. This is very important. Naam. The next hadith, the 10th hadith, in Arabic is hadith number 640. In English, hadith number 536. The hadith of Salman. Or in the Arabic, it says Suleiman. Wallahu alam, yani, it is Salman ibn Amir al-Dabbi radiyallahu anhu. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أفطر أحدكم فليفطر على تمر فإن لم يجد فليفطر على ماء فإنه طهور رواه الخمسة وصححه ابن خزيمة وابن حبان والحاكم. نعم يعني Salman ibn Amir al-Dabbi radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, if any one of you breaks his fast, fal yuftir ala tamrin, then he should break his fast with dates. But if he doesn't find yani dates, then he may break his fast with water. Fa innahu tahur, for indeed it is tahur. And again, yani tahur, it has two meanings, yani tahir mutahir. يعني طهور, it means طاهر مطهر, that which is pure in itself and purifying. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, meaning As-Sunan Al-Arba'a and Ahmed, يعني Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasai and Imam Ahmed rahimahumullah. And also it was declared to be Sahih by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. Yani there's some discussion concerning this hadith, and I'll briefly allude to it without going into the details. Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah said this hadith is weak due to it being yani having a single narrator who is majhula, yani Hafsa, yani who's in the chain of narrator, she was majhula. And what is majhula? Means a narrator yani who's not unknown, yani a person we don't know who it is, but unknown in terms of their reliability. Yani who has not been certified or verified as a reliable narrator. Majhula. So that means, yani with that person in the chain of narration, unless there's some other supporting narrations to raise it up, then it would be da'if. That's why the Shaykh said it's da'if. In any case, he says in some detail, I don't know how, what, in what, from what perspective this hadith has been declared to be sahih, especially from the likes of Al-Imam Abu Hatim rahimahullah, who was known for being very strict in his declaration of a hadith to be sahih. But the hadith principles reject the like of this hadith being considered as sahih due to yani Hafsa, who narrated from Al-Rabab, yani singly narrating this hadith, and yani that narrator is majhula. So how can the hadith be sahih, especially if there's no shahid, yani no other yani narrations to support it, except the hadith of Anas, yani, and there are two narrations of Anas, one narrating the Prophet's action and one narrating the Prophet's command to do so. And here he's referring to the hadith of Anas, where he reports, as in this hadith, that the Prophet commanded us, yani commanded us to break your fast with dates, and if not with water, as a command. He said that hadith is also ma'lula, yani has a defect in it. And then he mentions yani what the defect is, and then he says yani, and also it has other yani problems with it. The summary of the matter is that what has been confirmed in this topic, yani the topic of breaking the fast with dates and water and so on, what has been confirmed is the hadith of Anas min fi'lihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith of Anas, not reporting the Prophet commanded us to do this, but that the Prophet himself actually did it. And there's a difference between yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying do something and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing something. Okay, so the Shaykh is distinguishing here between two narrations from Anas, one of them like this narration in which the Prophet commanded us to do this, and the other one in which it's reported that he did it himself. And the narration of Anas, and in reporting that the Prophet ﷺ did this, Shaykh said, is sahih. As far as yani the narration of Salman here that we're under discussion, and the narration of Anas that the Prophet ﷺ commanded us, he said, فَلَمْ يُثْبَتْ عِنْدِي. This is not authentic. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. Okay. What is the hadith of Anas? يعني that the Shaykh said is sahih. It is the hadith of Anas, as we put about Al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر على رطبات قبل أن يصلي فإن لم يكن فعلى تمرات فإن لم يكن حصى حصوات من ماء. يعني حديث reported by الترمذي and النسائي, and the Shaykh said that it is authentic. كان رسول الله, يعني the Messenger of Allah, he himself used to break his fast with fresh dates before he would pray, which is also a suggestion that not only the fast has to be broken before you pray, but that once the fast is broken, you should pray without delay. Because Maghrib prayer, its time is limited. The beginning of the time of Maghrib and the end of the time for Maghrib is the same. Yani in the hadith where it's reported, the Prophet ﷺ, the angel Jibril came to him to show him the times of the prayer. On the first day, he prayed each prayer in the beginning of his time, and on the second day, end of his time. And the Maghrib prayer, he prayed on both days at the same time. Meaning the Maghrib prayer, its time is limited. It should be prayed in the beginning of his time without hesitation. So the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to break his fast with fresh dates before he performed the prayer. But if he didn't find them, then he would break his fast with dry dates. And if he didn't have that available, then he would take some sips of water. So this breaking the fast with fresh dates or dry dates or water is confirmed from the practice of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And based upon this, yani we say that, as the Shaykh mentions in the book, the points, he mentions 2 points for this hadith. He says that it is mustahab to break the fast with dates, and if you couldn't find any dates, then with water. And we say, yani according to the hadith of Anas, fresh dates. And if not, then dry dates. And if not, then water. And this is because of the fawaid, the important benefits to the stomach and to the sight, yani medical benefits to the stomach and to the sight. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in some detail concerning this, yani that the dates, because of their sweetness, are easily accepted by the stomach. And the water is also helpful to the liver in receiving the food that you're going to eat after you pray. Yani it makes the liver receptive to the food, as opposed to the liver which is dry from fasting all day. That water helps the liver and prepares it to receive the food that you're going to take. And this is a medical benefit from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Naam. The next hadith, and again, yani all of these hadith, yani as you know, yani on Sunday mornings we have hadith class for our Arabic studies, and we usually take one hadith for 1 hour. These hadith, we're kind of going through them quickly so that we can finish as many as possible. Otherwise, every one of these hadith could yani have a more thorough discussion. Hadith number 641 in Arabic, 537 in English. The 11th hadith, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, qala naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-wisal. Faqala rajulun min al-muslimina, فَإِنَّكَ تُوَاصِلُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. يعني Abu Hurairah narrates that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited al-wisal. What is al-wisal? What is al-wisal? Continuing the fast straight through one day after another. Continuing to fast for 24 hours straight and going on to the next day without breaking the fast. يعني continuous fasting. Yani for yani 2 days or more without breaking the fast during the night at Maghrib time. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited al-wisal. So a man from amongst the Muslims said, but indeed, O Messenger of Allah, you do it, yani you continuously fast. The Prophet ﷺ said, wa ayyukum mithli, and which one of you is like me? Don't imagine that we are like the Prophet ﷺ. Not in continuous fasting, not in having yani the right to have more than 4 wives, not in anything that yani that was exclusive to him. Yani the khasais of the Prophet ﷺ are for him. They are not for everybody. And don't imagine that we are like him. The Prophet ﷺ said in a polite way, ayyukum mithli. Yani he didn't say it rudely, but he said it politely. Which one of you is like me? Inni abitu yut'imuni rabbi wa yusqini. Yani I spend the night while my Rabb He is feeding me and giving me to drink. Yani nourishing me with spiritual nourishment that suffices the person who is near to Allah such that they don't need to eat food. By Allah, if anybody has experienced it, yani when a person is engaged in the remembrance of Allah, in the recitation of Quran, yani with reflection and contemplation, or engaged in prayer, yani fully engaged in salah, that a person may forget that they didn't eat, and they might even go past, they might pray the Maghrib prayer and forget to break their fast. And they might go into Isha and still they didn't break their fast, without having a need for food and drink, if a person has been connected, yani spiritually, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani I spend the night, what did he spend the night in? He spent the night in prayer. Yani standing in the prayer for most of the night, or a little less than that, two-thirds of it, or half of the night. Naam. He said, so when they refused, فَلَمَّا أَبَوْا أَنْ يَنْتَهُوا عَنَ الْوِصَالِ وَاصَلَ بِهِمْ يَوْمًا ثُمَّ يَوْمًا ثُمَّ رَأَوُوا الْحِلَالِ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَوْ تَأَخَّرَ الْحِلَالُ لَزِدْتُكُمْ. Yani, here it is mentioned that after the Prophet ﷺ told them this, they refused to give up this continuous fasting. So the Prophet ﷺ fasted with them for a day, and then he fasted with them for another day, and then they saw the crescent, the new moon. And he said, if the hilal had been delayed, yani it didn't come at this time, then I would have increased you in this continuous fasting. Meaning I would have went on fasting for more days. And until you would not have been able to do it. And the narrator of the hadith says, Kal munakkil lahum hina abaw an yantahu. Yani, that the Prophet ﷺ did this, continued to fast with them, as a means of punishment for them when they refused, yani, to stop. When they refused to stop the continuous fasting, to teach them a lesson, to let them feel the consequences of, yani, their behavior. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh says three things from this hadith. The first hadith, yadullu ala hurmat al-wisal fi sawm mutlaqan. This hadith indicates the prohibition of continuous fasting. Yani it's prohibited, absolutely prohibited. Continuous fasting. The second point, إِنَّ الْوِصَالِ مِنْ خَصَائِسِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يُجُوزُ لِغَيْرِهِ عِنْدَ الْأَكْثَرِ. Yani the words at the end here, عِنْدَ الْأَكْثَرِ, is important. Yani the Shaykh, he said that indeed al-wisal, this continuous fasting, is from the specific, particular, exclusive, yani, rights of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That's for him exclusively. It's not permissible for other than him, according to most of the scholars. Yani عند الأكثر. Here the Shaykh is saying, لا يجوز لغيره عند الأكثر, to remind us here that there's some difference of opinion about this. Yani some scholars say it's permissible. But according to the majority of the scholars, الأكثر, it's not permissible for anyone to do الوصال except the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is what's correct. The third point, نهي عن الغلو في الدين, the prohibition of exaggeration, extremism in the deen. Yani this desire of the people to do continuous fasting when Allah has legislated that we fast from dawn until sunset. That's what Allah has legislated. Going beyond that is extremism. Yani there's no khair in going beyond what Allah has legislated, in going above and beyond what Allah has legislated. And the Prophet ﷺ, therefore he prohibited us from doing this. Exaggeration in the deen is prohibited. The fourth point, جواز ترك المتشدد على تشدده ليحس الردع. Yani it's permissible to leave the person, the extremist who wants to go to the extremes, to leave them in their extremism for some time so that they might feel, yani, the deterrent, so they might feel the effect of it, so that they will be deterred from this extremism. And here again, I want to mention, yani this is what the Shaykh has mentioned, I want to mention another hadith here that's related to our topic, and that is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported by al-Bukhari. Hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported by al-Bukhari. فَأَيُّكُمْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُوَاصِلَ فَلْيُوَاصِلْ إِلَى السَّهَرِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, if any one of you wants to do some continuous fasting, and he doesn't want to break the fast at Maghrib, then you may continue up until As-Sahar. As-Sahar is the time, yani the last hours of the night, time of Suhoor. But then you have to break your fast. Yani you can't go on to the next day, yani till Fajr, and then go another day of fasting. And if anybody wants to do extra, then they may fast up until As-Sahar. This hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has narrated it. The next hadith, the 12th hadith, in Arabic hadith number 642, in English hadith number 538. This hadith also, وَعَنْهُ يعني عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يضع طعامه وشرابه رواه البخاري وأبو داود واللفظ له. And this is the hadith that we took last week in our Sunday class. Very important hadith narrated from Abu Huraira. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever doesn't give up false speech like lying and false testimony and things like this, وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, and acting upon those lies or those false speech, وَالْجَهْلَ, and ignorant behavior, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, then Allah has no need, meaning Allah has no desire that you give up food and drink. Allah doesn't accept your giving up lawful food and drink if you're not going to give up that which is haram. Because the intent of fasting, of giving up lawful food and drink and marital relations during the hours of fasting, is to train the person and to strengthen them to give up that which is haram. So if a person is not going to give up that haram, then there's no real benefit in giving up that which is lawful. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever doesn't give up false speech and acting according to an ignorant behavior, and he's acting ignorantly while you're fasting or otherwise, then Allah has no need, Allah has no desire, Allah doesn't accept that you give up your food, his food and his drink. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood. Naam. The Shaykh mentions 2 points from this hadith. Yani, اشتدادُ حُرْمَةِ الْكَذِبْ وَالسَّفَى عَلَى الصَّائِمِ. Yani, the severity of the prohibition of lying and ignorant, foolish, stupid behavior for the person who's fasting. Yani, lying and false testimony, backbiting, slandering, all of these evil behavior, all of it is prohibited for the people all the time. And it's even more severe for the person who is fasting. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Meaning, when a person is fasting, they have to be on their best behavior. Yani, we always try to act like, yani, we know that Allah is seeing us, even though we don't see Him. But when we are fasting, we should be more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore this kind of behavior while we are fasting is, yani, more severe. The second point, مَنْ اَرْتَقَبَ هَذِهِ الْمَعَاسِي يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ عَدُمْ قُبُولِ سِيَامِهِ. And whoever commits these acts of sin, yani lying, cheating, stealing, false witnessing, so on, ignorant, acting ignorantly, whoever commits these acts, it is feared that their fast will not be accepted. It is feared that their fast will not be accepted. And some scholars said that their fast, the meaning of this hadith is that their fast will not be accepted. And that is a strong view of the scholars. Very, very strong view. However, some of the scholars said that we cannot say it will not be accepted. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah holds the view that nothing invalidates the fast except those prohibited things which are specifically related to fasting. Yani, like eating and drinking and sexual relations while fasting. As far as other prohibited things that are not related to the fast itself, then it doesn't invalidate the fast. Rather, it takes away from the perfection of the fast. and the virtue and the excellence and the reward of the fast. So these are two views. Some scholars holding that it invalidates the fast, Allah doesn't accept it. Yani that's the meaning of فَلَيْسِ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٍ, yani that Allah doesn't accept that person giving up their food and their drink. And the other view is that, yani we can't say that the fast is invalid, but we say that it certainly takes away from its completion and the reward for it. Hadith number 13 in Arabic is 643. In English 539. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل وهو صائم ويباشر وهو صائم ولكنه كان أملككم لإربه. متفق عليه واللفظ للمسلم وزاد في رواية في رمضان. يعني this is the authentic hadith reported by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The exact wording here is from Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, and he also in another narration, Imam Muslim narrates it with the wording, yani, in Ramadan. That is, Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss, yani, his wives while he was fasting. And he used to fondle them, yani, he used to hold them and hug them while he was fasting. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, وَلَكِنَّهُ, however, pay attention, however, كَانَ هُوَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمْلَكَكُمْ لِإِرْبِهِ, يعني لِشَهْوَتِهِ. But don't forget that he was the one who had most control of his sexual desires. So whoever doesn't have that kind of control, this is not for you. This is not for you. يعني yes, he used to do it, but he was the one who had control over himself. And for the young man especially, and for some old people, if they don't have control over themselves, they should not be engaging in these acts while they are fasting, yani in Ramadan or otherwise. The Shaykh mentions 3 points from this hadith. Number one, the permissibility of kissing and fondling, yani for a man who is fasting to kiss or to fondle his wife. إِذَا أَمِنَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنْ تَحَرُّكِ الشَّهْوَةِ, yani if he feels safe and secure in doing so, that it will not yani activate his shahwa, his desires. Yani it would not cause him, yani it would not arouse his yani desires. If a person feels safe from that, it's permissible for a man who is fasting to kiss or hug his wife. Point number two, استحباب ترك المباشرة والقبلة للصائم, that it is praiseworthy, commendable, beloved, that a person leave off these things, yani directly touching, hugging or kissing for the fasting person, if they fear for themselves that this will arouse their desires, then it's better to leave it. And the third point, جواز الإخبار عن الأشياء التي يستحي منها وذلك لإظهار الحق, that is permissible to inform or to talk about those things which normally a person will feel shy from. And in this society, people are not shy from anything. But the normal person, the Muslim, feels shy from certain things. So, but it's permissible even in talking about those things that you normally will feel shy from for the purpose of bringing out the truth. And in a hadith, in another topic, it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ ﷺ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not shy from the truth, yani from speaking the truth. A lady came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked about yani sexual matters. Naam. But before she brought up her topic, she said, Allah is not shy from the truth. Meaning, some things have to be said so that people will know what is right and what is wrong. And therefore, a person may talk about certain things. Otherwise, these kinds of things, yani, they have a place, and they are not for public discussion or consumption. Naam. Tayyib. The next hadith in Arabic, hadith number 644. In English, hadith number 540 is the 14th hadith in this book. Yani, an Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو محرم واحتجم وهو صائم رواه البخاري. No discussion about the authenticity of this hadith reported by al-Bukhari, right? Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, yani him and his father. What is the name of Ibn Abbas? What is his name? Abdullah ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ihtajama, yani what do they call this? Huh? Cupping. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had himself cupped while he was muhrim, yani while he was in a state of ihram. Consecration for the performance of Hajj or Umrah. And we know that when a person is ihram, certain things they can't do. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas said that he had himself cupped while he was in ihram, and he also had himself cupped while he was fasting. These are two conditions that a person might think you can't do cupping in this condition. Ibn Abbas says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had himself cupped while he was in ihram, and that was in Hajjat al-Wada, yani in the 10th year after the migration. Yani in the last year of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, in the end of his life, meaning that this narration of Ibn Abbas is from the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as opposed to the narration that follows this, which came early on. Okay, so Ibn Abbas is saying here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had cupping done to him while he was in ihram, and he had cupping done while he was fasting. So this hadith indicates, yani is a proof that cupping does not invalidate the fast. And this is the madhab of the majority of the imams. Yani this is the madhab of the majority of the imams, that cupping does not invalidate the fast. Okay, the next hadith, which seems to contradict this hadith, and it is also a sahih hadith, the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aws, radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ata ala rajulin bil baqi' wa huwa يحتجم في رمضان فقال أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم رواه الخمسة إلا الترمذي وصححه أحمد وابن خزيمة وابن حبان. الشداد ابن أوس رضي الله عنه, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came across a man at Al-Baqi'. Anybody know what is Al-Baqi'? It's a place, the graveyard is the place where the people were buried, yani in Medina. Right now it's right directly outside of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. Yani it is the place where many of Sahaba were buried, Al-Baqi', the cemetery in Medina. He said that he passed by a man at the Al-Baqi', and that man was being cupped during Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aftara al-hajimu wal-mahjum." Yani the one who is doing the cupping and the one who is being cupped, both of them have broken their fast. This hadith indicates what? That cupping breaks the fast. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, that is Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, and Imam Ahmed. But the Shaykh Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he said, Al-Khamsa illa Tirmidhi, so Tirmidhi is not included in those four, rather the three, and Imam Ahmed, and it was declared to be Sahih by Al-Imam Ahmed, and Ibn Khuzaymah, and Ibn Hibban. And Shaykh Al-Albani said in his checking of Mishkat, Isnaduhu Sahih. And Shaykh Al-Albani also mentioned Irwa al-Galil, yani a group of scholars who declared this hadith to be Sahih. And from amongst them was Al-Bukhari and his teacher Ibn al-Madini. And this hadith seems to contradict the previous hadith. But some of the scholars said that this hadith is mansukh. Mansukh. Yani sahih, isnad, but mansukh, yani abrogated by the hadith of Abdul ibn Abbas, which came later. And the discussion of nasikh and mansukh, yani, is for another time. But in any case, abrogation is a topic of great importance that we will look at some point. One more hadith related to this topic, hadith number, yani 542. In English, 636, yani is hadith number 16. Yani these three hadith, 14, 15, and 16, all of them related to the topic of, yani hijama, cupping.
In English,
English, this one's 542. Yeah, the hadith of Ibn Abbas is 540. The hadith of Shaddad ibn Aus, maybe I didn't mention it, is 541. And this hadith of Anas ibn Malik is 542. Is it correct, the numbers? Okay. I wrote the numbers here, but sometimes, you know, I get a little confused. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qala, أول ما كرهت الحجامة للصائم أن جعف ابن أبي طالب احتجم وهو صائم. And the first time when hijama, cupping, was considered disliked for a fasting person was when Ja'afar ibn Abi Talib, yani the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhuma, he was being cupped while he was fasting. فَمَرَّ بِهِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَقَالَ أَفْتَرَ هَذَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by him and he said, these two, meaning the one who was being cupped, Ja'afar, and the one who was doing the cupping, they have broken their fast. ثُمَّ رَخَّصَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَعَدُوا فِي الْحِجَامَ لِلصَّائِمِ. And then at a later time, yani Anas is saying, at a later time, the Prophet gave permission for hijama, for cupping while a person is fasting. وَكَانَ أَنَسٌ يَحْتَجِمُ وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ. And Anas used to do cupping, have himself cupped while he was fasting. Yani meaning that Anas, later on, he continued doing this. He didn't mind yani cupping while he was fasting. Okay, this hadith, what it indicates is that yani in the beginning it was prohibited to do cupping while you're fasting, and then later on the Prophet gave permission. The hadith of Ibn Abbas indicates the permission of cupping for the person who is fasting. The hadith of Aus, Shaddad ibn Aus, indicates the prohibition of cupping. So we want to look at these three hadith together. The Shaykh says, well, first let me just say that this hadith, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his book Haqiqat al-Siyam, declared this hadith to be munkar. He declared it to be munkar. That's a type of weak hadith. And there are different definitions of munkar. This is not a mustalah hadith class, but in any case, yani there are different definitions of munkar. One of his definitions is that a weak narrator narrates a hadith in contradiction to what is narrated by a more reliable narrator. So two people narrated something, one of them is weak and the other one is strong. So the one who's weak, his narration is called munkar. That's one of the meanings of munkar, and there are other meanings too, but that, yani, is more likely what is intended here. In any case, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said this hadith is munkar, it's weak. The last hadith. Now, yani, the benefits from this hadith he mentions too. One, al-hijama, yani it doesn't invalidate the fast according to the majority of scholars. According to al-akthar, it doesn't invalidate the fast. And this is based upon the hadith of Ibn Abbas, our first hadith, radiallahu anhuma, which he said is nasikhun li hadith Shaddad ibn Aus. Yani the hadith of Ibn Abbas abrogates the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aus, radiallahu anhu, kama yadullu alayhi hadith Anas, as is indicated in the third hadith, the hadith of Anas. Yani that it was first prohibited and then it was allowed. But in any case, we said the third hadith is munkar, right? So we're not going to use the hadith. We're going to go with the two hadith that are both authentic. Hadith of Ibn Abbas allowing cupping and the hadith of Shaddad prohibiting cupping. He says, the reason why we're going to act upon the hadith of Ibn Abbas, because it abrogates the hadith of Shaddad. لِأَنَّ Ibn Abbas صحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حجة الوداع سنة عشرة فحديثه متأخر. Because Ibn Abbas accompanied the Prophet in the farewell pilgrimage, and that was in the 10th year of the Hijrah, so his hadith came later. وشداد صحبه عام الفتح سنة ثمان فحديثه متقدم. And Shaddad accompanied the Prophet in the year of the conquest of Mecca, which was the 8th year of the Hijrah, therefore his hadith came earlier. And from the rules of Nasikh al-Mansukh, yani abrogation, is that what came later abrogates what came earlier. So the hadith of Ibn Abbas is later, it abrogates the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aus radiallahu anhum ajma'in, which came later, and therefore the majority of scholars hold that cupping for a person who's fasting is prohibited. We'll just take a couple of minutes, inshallah, we have a few minutes until the Iqamah. This hadith, the Shaykh mentions two points related to these three hadith. The first of them, that hijama does not invalidate the fast according to the majority of the scholars, and that is because the hadith of Ibn Abbas abrogates the hadith of Shaddad radiallahu anhum ajma'in, since his hadith came later. the year of the farewell pilgrimage, 10th year of the Hijra, as opposed to the hadith of Shaddad, which came in the year of the conquest of Mecca in the 8th year of the Hijra. Second, he said, Al-Afdal Tawqi' al-Hijama Waqt al-Siyam Wa huwa Ikhtiyar al-Imam al-Shafi'i Rahimahullah. Yani that what is better is that a person protect themselves, avoid al-Hijama during the time when they are fasting. This is better. And this is the chosen view of al-Imam al-Shafi'i Rahimahullah Ta'ala. No doubt, a person should take precautions, especially if there's difference of opinion about something. Better to avoid the difference of opinion, even if it's permissible, it's better to leave it if it's not necessary. I'm going to take one more hadith and then we're going to stop. This hadith is the 17th hadith in this series. It is in English, hadith number 543, in Arabic 647, An Aisha radiallahu عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اكتهل في رمضان وهو صائم رواه ابن ماجه بإسناد ضعيف وقال الترمذي لا يصح في هذا الباب شيء. And I'm going to make a couple of notes to this hadith. يعني the Sheikh says concerning this hadith, he mentions one point, okay? The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used kuhl in Ramadan while he was fasting. Yani actually, and then he says, Rawahu ibn Majah bi isnadin da'if. Yani Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said this hadith reported by ibn Majah in his sunan with an isnad that is da'if. Indeed it is da'if. The wording in Ibn Majah is a little bit different than what came here. Make a note. The wording in Ibn Majah came, اكتحل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو صائم, without the mention of Ramadan. Yani that the Prophet used kuhl in his eyes while he was fasting. Okay, it's related to fasting. No problem. But in Ibn Majah, he didn't mention Ramadan, the actual wording. Al-Hafidh said the isnad is da'if. And Al-Tirmidhi said, Rahimahullah, there's nothing in this topic of using kuhl for the person who is fasting that's authentic. There's no hadith that's authentic concerning this. Meaning, there's no hadith that says the Prophet ﷺ used kuhl while he was fasting. So, yani if this hadith was sahih, we would say, as the Shaykh mentions here, al-hadith dalil ala al-ihtikal, yani iktihal fi Ramadan ghayr mufattir. Yani that using kuhl in one's eyes during Ramadan or while fasting does not invalidate the fast. But the hadith is da'if. So what did we say? And can we use a weak hadith to prove a legal ruling? No. So in that case, in any case, this is also the saying of Imam al-Shafi'i that using kuhl in one's eyes while fasting does not invalidate the fast. Two points. First thing, in the checking of Ibn Majah by Shaykh al-Albani, he mentioned that this hadith is sahih. He mentioned in the checking of Ibn Majah this hadith is sahih. But in another place, in Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa, Shaykh al-Albani said, وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ عَنْ أَنَسْ أَنَّهُ هُوَ كَانَ يَكْتَهِلْ وَهُوَ صَائِمْ وَفِي مَانَاهُ أَحَدِيثْ مَرْفُوَ لَا يَصِحُ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ كَمَا قَالَ الْتِرْمِذِي وَغَيْرُهُ. Yani in another place in the Silsila Hadith al-Da'ifa, Shaykh al-Albani said it's confirmed that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu, he himself used to use kuhl in his eyes while he was fasting. That's confirmed. And there are narrations that are attributed to the Prophet that he used to do it, but none of them are authentic, as was stated by At-Tirmidhi. Shaykh al-Albani says, as was stated by At-Tirmidhi and others, that nothing in this chapter, yani related to the Prophet using kuhl while he's fasting, is authentic. So the scholars differed concerning this, and some of them said, yani, that it is disliked to use kuhl, and that's the saying of Sufyan al-Thawri, Abdul ibn Mubarak, Al-Imam Ahmed, and Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway. Some other scholars said that it's permissible, and that's the opinion of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, and other scholars hold other opinions. And what we say is that it is permissible, and the reason why we say it's permissible, and this is where we're going to stop today, is, yani, I'll read just briefly Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his book Al-Jami' li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. Very important book that was collected from the writings and the speeches of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, a book that was collected after he passed away. And it's entitled Al-Jami' li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. This is not Fiqh al-Sunnah by Sayyid Sabiq. This is Jami' li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyah. He says, in reference to kohl, some of the people say that it's prohibited to use kohl while you're fasting. He said, وَذَهَبَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ ibn Taymiyyah رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah holds the view that using kohl in one's eyes while they are fasting does not break the fast, even if something from that kohl goes inside of their body. Even if something from the kohl goes to their throat and into their body. Why did he say it doesn't break the fast? And this is a qaida that we can use in all of the disputes that the people have about what breaks the fast and what doesn't, and we don't have any proof for it. The people said if you eat a stone, it breaks the fast. If you eat some dirt, it breaks the fast. If some dust goes into your throat, it breaks the fast. Based on what? And this might be the majority view. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in reference to kohl, and we can apply it to everything. إِنَّ هَذَا لَا يُسَمَّ أَكْلًا وَلَا شَرْبًا. That this kohl is not called food, nor is it called drink. Then how does it break the fast? وَلَا بِمَعْنَ أَكْلْ وَشُرْبٍ. Nor does it have the meaning or the same type of effect of eating and drinking. وَلَا يَحْصُلْ بِهِ مَا يَحْصُلْ بِالْأَكْلْ وَشُرْبٍ. Nor does anything occur from this kohl that occurs from eating and drinking. وَلَيْسَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ صَرِيحٌ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْكُهْلِ مُفَطِّرٌ. Nor is there any hadith from the Prophet that is sahih, authentic, nor sarih, clear. There is no hadith from the Prophet that is sahih, nor sarih, clear, that indicates that kohl invalidates the fast. وَالْعَصُلُ عدم التفطير وسلامة العبادة حتى يثبت لدينا ما يفسدها. And the original ruling is that nothing breaks the fast, and that one's worship is correct, is safe, is secure, is sound, until there's something that is confirmed which invalidates the fast. And I say here that this is a qaida that we should be careful, yani, to pay attention to. That here, the basis of the argument of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah can be applied to other things. The thing that you're saying breaks the fast, is there an authentic hadith that clearly indicates that this breaks the fast? If not, can that thing by qiyas be considered food? Meaning, is it called food? Is it called drink? Does it have the same meaning as food and drink? Does it have the same effect as food and drink? Does it provide nourishment like food and drink? If none of these things are in effect, nor is it called food or drink, nor is there authentic narration from the Prophet that clearly indicates that this thing breaks the fast, then our original rule is, nothing breaks the fast except that which we have a proof for. Except that which we have a proof for. So when somebody says, you can't take this pill that you have to take because of your sickness, if you can take that pill without drinking water, Allah, it doesn't break the fast. If it's not nourishment, if it's not food or drink, if it doesn't nourish like food and drink, if it doesn't have the effect of food and drink, then it doesn't break the fast. It doesn't break the fast. And this is what we want to stop with, and this discussion we had in detail 2 years ago. So if anybody wants the details, or you can go back to then. Otherwise, try to keep in mind that there's difference of opinion concerning some of these matters. And the scholars have different views, and we respect the views of the scholars. However, yani, we also respect the right of a person to follow the view of any scholar that brings evidence that to them appears to be stronger and more directly related to the point of dispute. So if somebody says that the majority of the imams have a certain view, and a minority of imams have a different view, and we look at the evidences, and the evidences are with the minority, then there's no harm in going with the minority, even if they're one person. There's a book, a collection, a research done concerning the ikhtiyar of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, yani his chosen views concerning issues where there's difference of opinion, where the four imams held one view and Shaykh al-Islam held another view. And are the four imams the final authority? Yani there are imams greater than them that came before them, before the four imams. Naam. They are companions who are ulama, who came before them. With all due respect, the point is that we don't follow people except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather we follow the evidence. And Imam Malik rahimahullah, he used to say, every person's view can be rejected illa sahibu hadha al-qabr, except the one who is buried in this grave, and he's pointing to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anybody has a question related to our topic, we'll take it now. Otherwise, any next week, inshallah, we'll continue with the following hadith that remains after this. Now, does medication?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
In breaking the fast, is medication
included in breaking the fast?
No.
If the medication is for nourishment, yani the purpose of that medication is to nourish your body. Like a person has some kind of sickness where they can't eat food, but they take something like an injection, intravenous or something that's for purpose of nourishment, then yani we might say that that breaks the fast, because it has the meaning, the purpose, the objective of food and drink. But if the medication doesn't have any nutritional value, rather it's just for some sickness, then it does not break the fast. Wallahu alam. And even Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said that a strong opinion, and he didn't say that he's taking that opinion, but he said a strong opinion is that it's more than just nourishment that caused the fast to be broken. And that some people who's on an intravenous may feel like they are starving, even though they're being fed by the intravenous. And if they got off that, they would be hastening to eat some food. And he said this is an indication that perhaps even the intravenous doesn't really break the fast. Wallahu alam. Because in some of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they have given up their shahwa for me. The shahwa means their desires. And that's related to food and drink. Wallahu alam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyin Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.